Welcome to episode 17 of the TV Autopsy, slicing its way through the series you love. My name is James.
My name is Deborah.
And I'm Megan.
So, did I do something to offend you two ladies? Or yes. More than usual? Oh, yeah. It's a bit quick. It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
We last met it was episode 18 when we discussed The Last of Us. Oh my gosh, that was a long time ago. But what date was that?
A long time ago. I haven't got the dates in front of me. But we were supposed to be doing today A Town Called Malice. And I think we could talk a little about it. But I do know that it was something that kind of we all put the kibosh on a little bit. But we'll get to that. So this is kind of a reset, really. We're going to be talking about really what we've been watching. So a bit of a free-for-all. And we'll go around and we can all pick a few. And then we'll decide what we're going to do for next month. And we'll try and get a bit more regular. Unlike my stomach at the moment, which is a little bit poorly.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, James.
I don't know why I shared that. Just in case I disappear.
A little bit of oversharing between friends is always absolutely fine.
So here we go. So has anybody got any news?
So, a couple of things from a news perspective. Slow Horses on Apple TV their third season is imminent. I don't have a date for it, but it's imminent. And seasons 1 and 2, if you have not seen it, are phenomenal.
Apple TV.
I think I raved about it on a I think it was my cutting edge on a previous episode. So good.
Okay. So good. So Slow Horses.
This is the I think MI5 or MI6, the goons who've ended up in the trash heap of UK intelligence through various cock-ups, but it's just really, really well written, excellent characters, funny, and yes, season 3
on its
way. And
who's the famous person that's in it again?
Oh, lots of them. Don't throw that at me. I don't do names.
Oh dear. Well,
I thought it wasn't Gary Oldman, was it?
No.
Well, don't worry,
IMDBing it as we speak, so that we can.
Let's see who gets
out first. I can see a man on the front in my mind's eye.
Gary Oldman.
It is Gary Oldman.
No, it is. Yes, Gary Oldman.
Yeah, that one. Kristen Stock, Scott Thomas, Saskia Reeves, Olivia Cook, recognise her. Rosalind Aliza, recognise her.
Freddie Fox. I have starred in a show with Freddie Fox making a cup of tea, actually.
Oh, what show was that, Deborah?
It was called The Mystery of Edwin Drood by Charles Dickens. It's a lesser-known work that wasn't actually finished. He died before he'd finished it. So
I thought you lot. You just stopped doing it, making it.
No, we did carry on. Who else is in it? Phil Davis. He's Chalky. Quadrophenia.
Oh, okay. There we go. All right, so that's something... And I suppose Severance is coming back, isn't it, soon?
Severance as well. Also, I did try and check that today. I can't see a date for that yet. But I can give you a date. January 2025, the fourth season of True Detective is coming out, starring Jodie Foster.
Oh, really?
Really?
I really quite enjoy True Detective. Hang on, I've only seen two. Well, there's three.
There was another one in 20... There was... it was like 2013, 2014, 2019, and next year.
Hang on, remind me. So the first one...
Oh, now you're bloody asking.
I can do these.
So you had Woody Harrelson, and Mr. Texan, Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
In the first one, and in the second one, there was.
Was it Colin Farrell in the second one, or was that the third one? Bear with.
Well, we got Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff in the third one.
Stephen Dorff, yes, that's right. So that's the one that I've not seen, I think.
Oh. And what's it about?
Well, I don't know. There's not very much information about it. They're
no,
just,
what's the series about? I haven't seen any of them.
Well, they're discreet. Oh. They're discreet series, so the individual series stands alone. You don't need to, they don't follow one from each other, they're completely different casts, but they are psychological. They're just very stylistic, or certainly the first couple of seasons were. So yeah.
What was an amazing achievement about the first one was that they did on one of the episodes one long running shot.
Oh yes,
that was obviously choreographed to oblivion
for the whole episode.
It was just amazing. It wasn't the whole episode from memory. This is a few years ago now, but it really stood out because it was such an achievement that everything was done in one shot and everything was all choreographed, blah, blah, blah. It was amazing, really, really, really great. And actually I didn't like Matthew McConaughey up until I saw True Detective.
Wow.
He'd given me the ick and all this sort of stuff. You know, I'd seen him as...
he was a pretty boy, wasn't he?
And all that. And, you know, he was in Contact and he was all buff. And it was just like, oh, you're just a bit icky. And then when he did True Detective and he was suddenly really skinny and this kind of very introspective, brooding, cop with issues from his past, and his interaction with Woody Harrelson's character, which was, they together, absolutely brilliant. It was such compelling viewing. It was really,
really
good.
Was. I agree.
Old Woody can't do a thing wrong, really, can he? It's very good.
Yeah.
Goody Woody.
Yeah.
Goody Woody.
So I feel like that was my little bit of my best bit of news, if I'm honest. So it was having a little look to see what
things have slowed down a little because of the writer's strike, I think. And obviously that means that a lot of the celebrities can't talk about any of the stuff that's out either. But I think that's come to an end now? Certainly part of it's been resolved. So hopefully it won't affect things too much.
I think it's just the actors. And then there was the actors' strike as well, wasn't there?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know where they're at.
Well, they're busily trying to make AI actors, right?
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And it's all a bit chilly, really. I don't know if it's a good idea to bring back the dead. What do you guys think?
It wouldn't be my preference.
No.
It's not top of my list. There's lots of very good actors out there that deserve a chance while they're alive.
Yeah, and they've done it. Obviously, Star Wars did it with Tarkin, didn't they? Grand Moff Tarkin, Vincent Price. But and Princess Leia.
Princess Leia, yeah.
Yeah, but I just don't think there's a need for it. I mean, and also, they don't get to say it, really.
I would say that's my overarching concern, is that there's no consent to the use of their
image.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Their artistic discretion has been disbanded.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many good actors out there, and it never bothers me if somebody else plays a role, if they're doing it with respect they don't even need to do an impersonation.
Every single soap opera in the history of television has swapped out characters and we all get used to it. It's fine.
Well,
Coronation Street is something.
I'd like to point out that Doris
Neighbours,
Day...
Home
Doris,
and Away.
When Doris Day took over from Barbara Belgedis in Dallas for one season, I'm afraid there was a bit of an uproar. And she soon got turned back into Barbara Belgedis. I can tell you that for nothing.
Well, what happened to Barbara Bel Geddes?
Well, oh, she's dead.
Why did she disappear? No, I know what I mean. Since, but why did she disappear for a season?
I think she was ill. I can't remember exactly, but
I reckon she probably annoyed somebody in the C suite, and she got binned off like Joey on Friends. And then there was an absolute uproar because of somebody else taking the role, and they had to bring her back.
Hold on, that happened in Friends.
So Joey Tribbiani plays a Friends. He plays a character in a soap, and then he annoyed all the writers.
Yeah.
Annoyed all the writers, and they wrote him out.
yeah, absolutely. And well, you know, they that was the beginning of the end, really, with her, and obviously that was the same time that Bobby got Bobby left and then came back in the shower. Good times. All right, so. If that's it for the news, we're going to move straight on to some cussing edge.
We're about to enter the fascinating sphere of police work, the world of forensic medicine.
So we will do a cutting edge each, and then if anyone's got a flatliner each, and then we'll do some more cutting edges, shall we? We'll just cut those edges up. So, can I start, please?
Yeah.
And I think it might be something that some of you, if not all of you, have already seen. And that was BBC One's The Reckoning, the four-part drama about Jimmy Savile. You've not seen this?
No.
No. I mean, I love Steve Coogan, but I just haven't watched any of the Jimmy Savile documentaries, nor this one that's
My sister told me to watch it, and the style is quite interesting because it is a drama, but they cut in real footage every now and then of aforesaid celebrity
and testimonials as well, right?
And some testimonials from the start, and they happen at the start, the really, and then they, you know, so they don't kind of keep popping up, which is good, so it doesn't break the drama. But I mean, it is incredibly uncomfortable viewing. I mean, yes. I don't think I've seen much more else that is more uncomfortable. I mean, it's so harrowing and how manipulative he was. I mean, and how much he got away with, even when, you know, it only really started coming out when he went on Celebrity Big Brother, which is what they talk about. They don't mention.
I don't remember him on Celebrity Big Brother.
They said he did a cameo, so I think he may have turned up for a day. I don't know. But but because of that, lots of people started writing in saying, "Oh, this is the one that, you know." But he embedded himself in obviously BBC Centre, and he had like a little camper van that he slept in, and he was, you know. But he also embedded himself in Stoke. Mandeville, I think, or something like that, hospital. Where he basically had free reign to everybody. And then there were girls' schools he was going to. I mean, it was just awful. And then this, obviously, they're played by actors, but there was this poor girl, this Asian girl, who was her dream to be on TV, went on Top of the Pops, and, you know, he got her. And afterwards, she committed suicide, and they investigated it, and he got away with it. They didn't, Jesus. You know, and it's, I mean, it's very hard viewing. It's not, but Steve Coogan absolutely nails it as the character. And, you know, Margaret Thatcher had him over for Christmas dinner.
Well, Prince Charles, he consulted Prince Charles on various stuff as well.
Well, you can't, you know, I mean, from their point of view, he raised £10 million for the Stoke Mandeville Hospital. So, you know, he was just somebody who did lots and lots of work for charity. Why would you know, there's always a bit of accusation if someone's connected to somebody like that. But you can't, it's not anybody's fault, but that person's, really, I think.
Not for doing it, but I think there are some fundamental systematic failures.
Oh, the BBC should be ashamed of itself. They didn't even check who was going in. You know, it's a free-for-all, really. And there were people saying, I don't think this is right, whether they're, you know, I don't think he's right. There's rumours, there's things, but nobody followed through on those. They just, it was a ratings winner.
You'd like to think that that's all over now and it wouldn't happen again. And then you get the Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Allegations.
Allegations.
We all said it. But, Yeah, I mean, it's just very sad that, you know, people with stars, and obviously people who are innocent with stars in their eyes and excited about going on Jim will fix it, then, you know, got so screwed up, you know. Awful. Did anyone write to Jim?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I did. Did you, Megan?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I did. I was a bit more of a, I used to be a bit more of a Blue Peter groupie. So I used to send stuff into Blue Peter. I got a Blue Peter badge.
Oh, oh. Did you? Oh, I always found Blue Peter a little dull.
Wow. I mean, it was a height of entertainment in the back sticks where I grew up.
I mean, Why Don't You was my kind of go-to like magazine show.
It's a love a bit of Olympic.
Yeah.
I would turn the telly off when they said, turn the telly off, go out and do something else less boring instead.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I'd go out and get
what was it? Well, there was nothing else to do but watch telly. Did you just come back in and turn it back up?
Yeah.
Did they wait until the end of the show to say that, though?
No, they said it.
Otherwise, it wasn't.
Why don't you? What? I'll put the theme tune in. There you go.
Pointless. You got to watch their program first, otherwise, how do you know what to do?
But sometimes it was really boring.
So, you know, and by that point, because I think it would come on at about 10 o'clock in the morning, by that point, I'd already seen about 4 hours worth of children's telly. So I was ready to get up and go. Well,
I liked it. I think it was a later series when they basically started doing like a kind of drama or like a very chunky like plot line with the kids throughout it. And they're like, I think there was a Welsh boy who was like trying to take over and stuff, which I always found was fun and stuff like that.
If we look back now, I mean, we would discover all the, you know, people like Jude Law and all of those guys that were...
Jude Law wasn't in Why Don't You?
Oh, yes, he was. He presented Why Don't You? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And we'll probably discover lots of others that we didn't think, oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Yeah, Jude Law was...
This space. We'll get back to you about that. All right. So, it's hard to recommend it, but I, as a piece of television, it's very powerful. It's very well made, you know, and at least the BBC made something and we're, you know, looking critically at it, I guess. So there we go.
Yes.
So... Deborah, you look like you're about to draw breath.
Well, yes, because generally that's what you have to do to keep living. But
you may continue.
There's a few things that I've been watching.
Do we choose one, just one, and then move around?
Let's do Cutting Edge then. One that I just saw recently and is number one on Netflix at the moment, which is The Beckhams.
Oh, yes, that's on my list.
Look at you two.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Clearly, there's obviously the whole brand Beckham, try to spin it, make it look positive so that they come off well. But they do come off well. And actually, it's following him. It's called Beckham, not Beckhams. It's Beckham, singular. Following his story, and it's really fascinating, you know, looking back on various highlights of his career and the downside of his career as well, and then when he met Victoria and the love that they share and the fact that he's, you know, a family man, but at the same time he uproots his family and they have to go all over the world at his whim and she gets annoyed about it, and they're quite endearing because they both slag each other off, but in a funny way. She's trying to make out she's talking to camera. Yeah.
Oh, I've heard about this bit. Everyone's talking about that bit.
We're working class family. We're both from working class families. And he puts his head through the door and says, "Now, Victoria, tell the truth. How did you get to school in the morning?" How did you get to school in the morning? You've got to tell the truth. You say you're working class. But I can't answer that, you know, without the backstory. No, Victoria, how did you get to school? My dad used to drive us in a Rolls Royce.
What?
and then other things like, she used to speak common, but, you know, over the years, she's tried to...
They're likeable. They both come across as likeable.
Yeah,
they do. They really do.
It is lovely, and it's lovely to be reminded of how hot he used to be.
How awful it actually was for him. Like some of the awfulness that he had to put up with, and not
didn't have to marry her.
Well, she was quite. I mean, when she was talking about sorts of the posh related chants that were going on, I mean, that was nothing in comparison to what he put up with after he got sent off in the World Cup.
Yeah,
and then he got put up loads of stuff. All the clubs that he played for, he'd go through periods where they were absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought it's a pity, because when you hear her being interviewed, actually, she comes across as very likeable, I think, really, on the whole.
Yeah, she's got humour. She's got a dry wit.
Yeah, and I suppose it's the media, but the image of her is quite spiky. Yeah. Well,
the media is hateful. Always hateful.
Yeah. I mean, she does put across, you know, a kind of persona. And we know that she does, because she has to, you know, she's changed her accent a bit and all this sort of stuff. And we know that when she's doing, like, I don't know if you see this on your Facebook threads, like the adverts that come up, but the makeup, Victoria Beckham makeup, and then she might just turn up, she goes, you put it on the eyes and you know, and it's very forced. But look, from an interview side of things, I think she's great. And I think he's great. I think he's still, regardless of all the money, and he just, you know, he fully admits to being not very clever, and always spending his money because he likes nice things. He's still, I think, because he comes from a band of brothers, teammates that are all in the same boat with money and celebrity and so on. He's pretty grounded. I think they keep him down a peg or two. You know, they speak very candidly to one another. So. And then I suppose he then throws that off at the celebrity world that Victoria lives and just sort of knocks her down a peg or two. It's like, all right, yeah.
But neither of them are, I would say, in any respect, stupid. They've managed to do Bram Beckham incredibly well. In fact, you know, they've made a lot of money. So I'd hardly say either of them are stupid.
No, exactly. Very, very shrewd business sense.
Yeah. They're very big. Sorry.
Yeah, no, and he's very resilient. It shows his strength of character, and you can really see his strength of character. Because, you know, a lot of people used to take the mickey out of him media-wise and in terms of how he spoke and how he came across, and obviously his voice has deepened over the years. But when you actually see him in this kind of interview mode and then watch the way that he sort of fights back and says, you know, I'm not going to give up, and that determination, like the metal of the man, he's really quite an inspiring fella, really.
Mm. I quite like the way that Victoria also, when she was, because it's a 4-part documentary, and in the final part she was, I think she was kind of reflecting on the fact that she was surprised at how open she'd been, and she was joking about it basically being her therapy. Sessions.
Yeah.
Right.
Talking about it all and realizing that actually she did still have quite, you know, there was still some emotion associated with things that have gone on. It was an excellent viewing experience, I would say.
Very enjoyable.
And is it over now? How many parts was it?
There's only four, and they're all accessible really quick. You can just get through them really quickly. It's an enjoyable watch. The fourth one, I think, is everyone's favorite episode, it seems.
Okay. And that was on Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah. It's number one on Netflix at the moment.
Ah, number one. All right, well, Megan, you're my number one, so why don't you give me that? Do you like that look?
So
why don't
my...
you give me a cutting edge?
I'm going to give you a cutting edge, which I have actually only discovered this week. I have got loads that I've watched over the last, since we last spoke, but over the last week or so, I have discovered on Apple TV Foundation.
Okay. Foundation.
Foundation. Tell me about this. It is sci-fi. It's the based on Isaac Asimov's like epic series, and it's so superbly done. I haven't really organised my thoughts around it. I haven't finished watching it, but it's thoroughly, thoroughly entertaining. It's
So it's all about the Galactic Empire? Tell me about it.
It's set in an environment where the Empire is... The figureheads of the Empire are these three clones of an original Emperor.
Yeah.
And they're all called Empire. And they represent dawn, day and dusk. And they're clones. And so more clones are bred to replace them. So there's this sort of like big discussion about... Sorry?
They never run out, basically. There's always...
And they're sort of like the worshipped leaders of this empire. And then there's this... there is a mathematician who claims to be able to predict the future through maths. And there's this ancient conundrum that suddenly gets solved by a girl who is on another planet that
like
should know this stuff. And it and anyway, this professor is predicting the downfall, and so he gets exiled, and he's suggesting it's really difficult to explain.
Well,
he's suggesting that this foundation is created, and the foundation is his legacy. There's lots of jumps from one time zone to another, and
on a level
really intelligent requirement, but also thoroughly engaging.
All right,
really,
so
really
good.
That's
what I was going to ask. On a level of one to sci-fi, what is it? Is it do you have to like really like sci-fi, or is it something that anyone could kind of tune into? And
well, I think anyone could tune into it.
Well, yeah, it depends if they like it or not. That's kind of what I meant.
But well, I mean, I like a bit of sci-fi.
Yeah.
I'm not into your Star Trek and your Star Wars in the same way as other people I could mention. but I think it's so there'll be some real themes that you'll see in all sci-fi, but actually there's some really, really interesting premise.
Okay.
Building around it, and just it's obviously there's been a lot of money spent on it. It's really excellent production.
And that's Apple TV. I need to subscribe to Apple TV.
You really do.
Yeah,
it's not much.
It's actually quite reasonable compared to. And if you want a bit of a refreshing change from your Netflix, which for me kind of goes in waves, you know, you sometimes find some really good stuff, but then for ages it's just a bit of dross, really. I find more and more I'm just buying like the films I want to buy and watch on Amazon, doing it like that. Okay, well, let's move on.
Quite a few of my things that I've been watching have been on Apple.
That's fine. We're going to go on to Flatliner, but then we can come back to any others, like to mop them up, if you like. I'm going to do it. My Flatliner is a town called Malice. Okay. All right, because we said we were going to talk about it. And I mean, look, I have to be honest, I didn't get very far. There was very little for me to like about it. It felt like a lot of shouty EastEnders sort of thing. And the acting was a bit crap. And
the acting was terrible.
Yeah, the Costa del crime thing was just... I mean, who wants to put their hands up on that one? Who chose it, Deborah?
Me, I chose it.
Was it you?
Yeah, I
apologise to Deborah for accusing
you. Take it back.
Yeah, I do.
I had it recommended to me.
Yeah.
From
who? They're not a friend.
I'm not going to name them.
God say they're not a friend. That's a bit harsh.
They are a friend. Otherwise, I wouldn't have automatically picked it. But they'd recommended it, and they'd kind of talked about how much they liked it. It was a bit of a throwback to the 80s and blah, blah, blah. And I was just, anyway, when I was watching it, I felt exactly the same. I would just, I could not stand it. It was a poor man's Tarantino-esque.
Oh, it was
homage.
Yeah. I watched one episode and I wrote notes on my phone as we went. Just
okay,
one
let's
episode.
Hear these notes. Then.
I sat with Laurie watching this. I was like, really bad fake Cockney. Incidental music was terribly cheesy. It's trying to be 80s. It just doesn't look 80s.
No.
Paul Weller cameo was a surprise. He must be embarrassed. The chat up at the club, the chatting up at a club, there was no misogyny at all. The conversation that they had would not have happened. Cockney air hostess, Interpol, extradition, fake set pickup, no topless Spaniards. They're all pale. They're meant to be in Malaga, for God's sakes. Martha Plimpton was trying to be Pat Butcher.
Yes.
DJ Scott, caricature. Can't do comedy nor irony. Detective staring at a car that drove off. Oh, what is the detective staring at as the car drove off? Swam with gold watches on. The size of the detective's hairdo is ridiculous. I know 80s Spain and that ain't it. Alvarez convinced with 2 minute conversation. No sweat, no crickets. Carlos and Juan, they are not Spaniards. The irony is not funny. Guy Ritchie audience. And James has disappeared. He obviously got bored.
Or caught short. Let's keep going and hope he comes
and
back.
That was half the episode. I gave up.
I watched four episodes.
Yeah.
I watched four episodes because I was like, trying to force myself to watch it, especially as it was my suggestion.
It's not your fault.
It was so awful. There was nothing. To your point, I wasn't convinced by the 80s.
Yeah.
I wasn't convinced by anybody's acting. The undertone of the girl getting in with the family that just wasn't, there was wasn't convincing or subtle enough for, I don't know. It was just, all of it was terrible, absolutely terrible. And what you would have missed if you only made it through the first was just the sheer speed with which she became so Tarantino.
Oh, did she? Like a killer?
Oh, shoot-ups and like the amount of killing that she, it was just like, I'm not buying into any of this.
Yeah.
Now, you may have got to the end of the series and discovered that it all came together nicely, but I lost the will at four episodes.
Yeah, it's not a series I don't think is going to be continued to season two. I wouldn't have thought.
Certainly won't be having a pop at it if it is.
I don't know if we're going to get James back, but shall we carry on just in case?
Yeah, yeah. Have you got a...
A flatliner.
That's what I was looking for.
I started to watch My Mum, Your Dad, which is kind of like the Davina McCall version of Love Island with
the dating thing.
People. Yeah, and then that sort of tailed off for me. So I think I got to about episode four, and then I just lost interest, and that was that. So it wasn't like it was particularly bad, but it was just, it was particularly exciting.
I didn't get into that. I've avoided a lot of the reality style TV shows of late. I watched the
Although you do watch Strictly, surely?
No.
You don't watch Strictly?
I've never really watched Strictly.
It's such an education.
I don't feel I need that sort of an education.
Oh, it's wonderful education. It's so joyous. And it makes you cry most weekends. You'd be crying.
Well, I would if I was made to watch it, so...
Fair enough. Okay, so, yeah, you keep away from...
I tend to keep away from them. I usually have enough... I have enough in my soul to do, like, one really big reality TV series a year, and that's
like
it.
Like The Traitors. When's that back? Is that coming back?
Oh, that is coming back. That doesn't kill a little bit of my soul as it goes, so I wouldn't count that.
Have you seen the Australian version and the American version?
So,
yes.
I have not seen those because I can only watch one. However, can I just say, what I did watch, the big emotional consumption that I had was MAFS Australia.
MAFS, Married at First Sight.
The Australian version. The UK version's happening now.
Okay.
But the Australian version earlier in the year was a shocker. And it just takes, oh, it just kills.
Just tell me the premise of this show, because I have heard about it.
So the premise of Married at First Sight is...
He's back.
Yeah.
You get eight...
I hope you didn't tell anybody.
Eight men and eight women who get paired up and get married. They literally meet each other in the aisle and get married.
Oh, my God.
And then they have this sort of like 8-week social experiment around whether or not they can, you know, fall for each other, and it's all very contrived. All the circumstances are very contrived. It's become so famous now that people are doing it just to get famous and increase their aware brand and do all of this sort of thing. But the Australian one is always claimed to be. Everyone always says it's better than the British one. So I watched the Australian one this year, which is why I do not have the emotional energy to watch the UK one. But it's just so shocking. Like the misogyny, the manipulation. I'm not saying the women are perfect by any stretch, but there is some deeply, deeply brutal, unacceptable behaviour that just riles me so much. Whereas this year is the first time I've really seen they have three psychologists who help manage a lot of interactions on a weekly basis, and the couples have to say whether they're going to stay or go and what problems they're having. And
who puts them together?
The psychologists.
So
I say not medically trained.
Some of it's horrendous. They don't spot any misogyny from these contestants until they get married off.
I mean, misogyny is everywhere, so you know you can't just ban it from a misogyny perspective. But there was some really brutal, manipulative, nasty behaviour this time.
Right.
One guy got kicked off, and another guy was just perfectly inept. I kind of don't know where I sit on how it's allowed to continue, because it's such unpleasant, awful, awful behaviour. It has to come up in screening beforehand.
Like kind of coercive control type stuff.
Yeah. Some of it is, yeah. They can't possibly
be
pairing these people up without knowing that one's a wrong'un and that one's a wrong'un and that one's downright dangerous.
Well, oh my God. Well, maybe the public will treat them with less respect, who knows. All right, so have we all done our... I nearly called it something else then.
Flatliner.
Yeah. We've all done them. So can I suggest we do maybe one more each? Otherwise, we're going to be going on a little bit. What do we think? All right, I'll start us off. And I'm not going to spend long talking about this. I think I mentioned it before, but Star Trek Strange New Worlds. So this is a kind of Star Trek... there's been an explosion of Star Trek TV. It started with Discovery, and there was loads of rights issues, which is why Discovery didn't look like Star Trek. I don't know the ins and outs of it. Anyway, that all got sorted out. Then there's two cartoons, one featuring Janeway, which Kate Mulgrew, who I'm a massive fan of, so that was lovely to see her back. That got axed, but then it got Netflix has picked it up. So she basically plays a hologram of herself and herself in a cartoon, which is just lovely if you like Voyager, which I quite did. Then we had a number of other ones, but they have made one which is in the second season now, finished the second season, called Strange New Worlds. And this is a prequel to the original Star Trek series. So it's full of colour, full of jokes, japes and bottle episodes, you know, all you don't have to be a fan really. And it's very likable. It's, you know, it's not got the serious politics as much. They had a musical episode the other day, you know, which was quite funny. And, you know, they somehow tried to explain it. But, you know,
no TV show is complete now without musical episode.
But yeah.
How did that get started? Because I know my earliest experience of it is Buffy.
Yes, I think that was probably one of the first ones, to be honest.
Just one of the best ones ever.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because what was the name of the show that came a lot later with the tragic death. The one of the main characters died of a heroin overdose. One of the main actors. It was Glee. Anyone remember Glee?
Oh yes, yeah.
I mean, that was huge for a series or two.
Yeah, but that wasn't like a straight program suddenly bursting into song.
It was about the songs, but it was also about the bursting into song as well, wasn't it? There was a lot of bursting into song.
But my point being, that was the premise of the show.
Yeah. I agree. Buffy did it brilliantly, and still everybody seems to think that one was one of the best.
Oh, it was epic.
Anyone know any others?
I still know all the songs.
I do?
Yeah.
Well done. Well, there we go.
My flatmate and I, if we'd had a rubbish day at work, we'd be like, oh, it was so rubbish today. And we'd be like, is it Once More with Feeling rubbish? we'd put it on just to cheer ourselves up. Have a little
Listeners, I have absolutely no idea what these guys are on about.
So did you never watch Buffy? Did you never watch Buffy?
Yeah, I did, but I don't know what you're saying in terms
of... So it was basically an episode of Buffy where she got cursed. The whole cast got cursed. And so everything they said was in a musical. They became like... So it was all songs. And they didn't...
It was songs. Yeah. Like, suddenly like, they got the mustard out.
Yeah, very much like that. And the same for Star Trek.
Everyone had their own little songs that were just completely in line with what their...
Obviously missed that episode.
Inner feelings, all their secrets coming out in song. It was brilliant.
So just to wrap it up, and also for those, I doubt you'll know what I'm talking about here, but there was in the original series of Star Trek, there was an episode where Captain Kirk had to fight a creature called the Gorn. Or the Gorm, or something like that, the Gorm. And it was basically a man with a lizard head on it. And it was looked like a very 60s thing. What they've done with that whole kind of race is make them into like an alien sort of race, really. And now they'll have the big bad of the whole series. And they are pretty terrifying. They get, you know, the way they eat everybody. Yeah. So it's quite nice how they've wrapped that up. And also, finally, the captain's Captain Pike. And he appeared in the pilot episode of Star Trek, the original, but was replaced by, James T. Kirk, William Shatner. So it's all about... And they actually looked at that story in the original series, and they said that captain had basically got disfigured and ended up going back to this planet where the aliens basically made them think he was beautiful. And he knows this is coming, Captain Pike. So it's quite interesting to, you know, I don't know how long, I think it will run for 3 or 4 seasons, but his end is already preordained and we've already met Captain Kirk and stuff like that.
What platform is it on, did you say?
It is on Paramount Plus, which seemed to own all the Star Trek stuff, but you can get it as an add-on to Amazon and stuff like that. But, you know, I am very aware that we can't all be buying all these platforms all the time.
Paramount comes free with my Sky subscription.
Well, lucky you.
Yeah.
So there you go. Deborah's got it all wrapped up. All right, so that's me.
Just don't have Apple.
So, Deborah, have you got one more for us?
Yes. So, I just started watching. So, there's this. On Friday the 13th, just gone, a new BBC Two series started called Uncanny. Now, it's new in terms of visually new because previously it was a podcast. So, this chap called Danny Robbins, who I'm friends with on Facebook, and actually who Dawn knows, who was at uni with us. You remember Dawn?
Maybe you can point her out in the picture that's behind me.
I will point her out in the picture behind you. So Danny Robbins is a comedian, is a writer, blah, 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 blah. And he has had these various podcasts, and then he got into the sort of paranormal and had a couple of podcasts about the paranormal, and then basically investigative stuff. And it's not like, you know, watching Most Haunted on some random channel. This is something slightly different. Yeah. And he's been running this podcast called Uncanny, and now he's started it as a visual TV show to watch, and that started on Friday. And I've not listened to his podcasts previously, but when I watched this episode, which is available on iPlayer because it's on BBC Two, it did give me the heebie-jeebies. So he's basically presenting it in two ways. Are you team believer or are you team, I was going to say skeptic?
Septic.
I'm definitely team septic.
Me too at the moment.
So he sort of tries, so he gets a couple of psychologists and a couple of professionals and this, that, but he'll get somebody in that might have written to him, and he'll sit and talk to them about their experience or something, you know, and then he will go and investigate. So this first episode is called Miss Howard, and quite a lot of it is answered, but you can sit there on two sides, decide whether you're a skeptic or a believer. But it's very kind of compelling, and I think he's going to revisit this particular case, Miss Howard, in an episode later on down the line. The next episode is this coming Friday, so it's on every Friday.
Okay. I'm definitely going to check that out. That sounds right to my strata.
It did give me. It talked about time slip as well. If you've ever heard about time slips, there's apparently a very famous area in Liverpool called Bold Street, which is quite famous for time slip paranormal activity there, where people just suddenly find themselves in the 1950s for a couple of minutes, and then it
was... I should also point out that Time Slip is one of the lowest ever rated stories from Doctor Who, featuring Colin Baker, from 1985. So, yeah, not a popular choice.
Was that on a top car?
I pulled it from my mind because I know all of these things.
Well, that's very impressive. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. That is something to watch on a weekly basis as we're coming into Halloween. There's only 4 episodes, I think.
Brilliant. Well, I'm definitely going to watch it. So, Megan, close our recommendations with what?
Oh, okay. So I have recently finished watching all 6 seasons of Longmire.
What the flip is that?
So I got into it a couple of years ago via the books, through recommendations from American friends of mine. And so I read a couple of the books, and then realised that the series was on one of the streaming channels.
Yeah.
And it is set in northern Wyoming, in kind of like cowboy country.
Yeah.
And the main character is the sheriff of a small town, proper, like, you know, cowboy hat.
What's
sheriff.
It called again?
Hold on a minute. Is this like that sci-fi thing from the western, like that western sci-fi
no
thing?
No sci-fi what?
Firefly.
Sounds like Firefly to me.
Nothing like that.
What did you say it was called again, Megan?
Longmire.
Firefire.
Longmire.
It's correct. An anagram of Firefly. Anyway.
So he's the main character, but his best mate is a Native American who runs the local bar. And there's a lot of the dynamic around the town and the local tribe that is building a casino and all of that sort of stuff. And I've watched all 6 seasons. It got a little bit ridiculous towards the end, but it's a very engaging, munchable, and I'd forgotten about it having watched maybe 3 or 4 of the seasons. And when I was in the States recently, and I went to have a look at Netflix.
Where did you go? You went to look at Netflix? What, the building?
I went to Nashville.
Oh, I love Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. So before travelling home, BA managed to cancel our flights. And we had to come back American Airlines. So I was not optimistic that our in-flight entertainment would work. So I went to see if I could download any more programmes.
Yeah.
And in Netflix, in America, I picked up the US Netflix. And they had all of the rest of the Longmire, so I downloaded all of those, and then I could watch them at home.
It's a little bit exciting when you go somewhere else and turn on Netflix, because it's like, what have they got that we haven't got, and stuff like that.
But I didn't even realise that until I got home and went to... I had to buy some of the very last episodes, right, because I hadn't downloaded all of them and realised that we don't have them in the UK.
Nope. You can... No, I'm not going to tell you how to get Netflix.
No. Don't
absolutely
tell me
not.
How to break
no,
the
I
rules.
Wouldn't, because I wouldn't know anyway. So, all right. So, well, I think we've covered quite a bit today. So we are going to really try and stick to our monthly viewing schedule now, aren't we?
Yes.
And it's through no fault of anybody individually. It's just been a very challenging year for lots of us. So what we're going to do is choose our main feature for next month, and that's Deborah, I think. So Deborah, what have you got for us?
I am very ashamed to say that I have not done Yellow Jackets season 2 yet.
Ah, well, me oh either. Gosh, I can't believe we've all gone through this without mentioning the YJs. Well, I like to say I've seen all of it.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay. I was but going
it was so
to
long ago,
that.
I forgot about it.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going to choose that as,
can
my,
we do that
as my one, just so that it means that I can actually finally sit and watch it with pure focus and concentration. And Megan, you say you haven't watched it yet either.
I haven't watched it yet, no.
Oh
great, let's do that. Because I would really like to break that down, actually, compared to, because we were all big fans of the first season, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Yeah, great. So brilliant. Don't worry, it's nothing to worry about. It's all going to be fine. They're all still there, being the Yellow Jacket people.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Oh, it's nice to see you both and hear your lovely voices. When are we going to have our meet? We'll talk about this off air, but we are going to meet up soon, aren't we? And have a TV autopsy time of it.
Yes.
Yes.
TV autopsy stroke lighthouse family gathering.
I don't invite those idiots. All right, then. Well, we haven't got a catchphrase at the end, have we? Have we?
Yeah, we kind of do.
What is it?
Well, I think we all just say goodbye, don't we?
I think it's a just
we
a say.
We do it in a certain way,
don't
we?
I've got it here. Oh, no, that's not right. No, I don't think we have got them. Oh, here we go. Oh, yes. I've got it here. Okay. No, here we go.
So long.
So that's the end of the show. Let's call it. That was episode number 19, Time of Death, 1954. That was the TV autopsy. Goodbye.
Goodbye now.
Bye.